Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this congregation here, that we are gathered here that to hear your words, we pray. Let the holy angels be around us, and also the Holy Spirit will open our mind and hearts to receive your word. We pray, Heavenly Father, also be with me, that I do the right thing by you and by the congregation too. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your mercy, for loving us, and thank you for giving us Jesus. And we pray all this in his precious name. Amen. So, all right, is the authority of the king Nebuchadnezzar versus the authority of God. Is it that so in this chapter? So, okay, as we begin to study chapter 2, let us read verses 1 and 2 from chapter 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, into Jerusalem and besieged it, surrounded the army, surrounded. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the south side, southward. The border shall be even from Tamar unto the waters of Strife in Kadesh, and to the river toward the great sea. So why God gave Israel into the hands of the king, heathen king? Why? Did God forget his promises to Israel? Has God divorced himself from Israel? Has God divorced himself from Israel? Not at all. Behold, the Lord's hands is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ears heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2. So what separated God from Israel and delivered into the hands of a heathen king? The consequences, the result, the punishment of their sins, of their continued blasphemous iniquity. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 6 to 9. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 6 to 9. The Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel had done? She is gone up upon high hills, mountain, and under every green tree, and there had played the harlot. Verse 7. And I said, after she had done all these things, stand thou unto me. But she returned not, and her treacherous sister Judah saw it. Verse 8. And I saw, when for all the cause whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and gave her a bill of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. Verse 9. And it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and stalks. So that means that they worship images of stones and the stalks. So, brothers and sisters, when we lay down our religious principles, we also lay down our faith in God. When we go to the world for the counsel and trust in men and not in God, we will participate in the sins of the unbelievers. And surely the counsel of God is that our pathway would be a pathway of destruction. Cursed is the man who trusted in men and make it flesh his arm, and whose heart departed from the Lord. Jeremiah 17, verse 5. So when Israel rejected to carry out the responsibility to light up the whole nation with the truth that God had given them, God permitted a heathen monarch, a heathen king, to invade Jerusalem and take his people into captivity. And that's how it is. That's why we got responsibility. God gave us responsibility that we, when we surrender to his word and promise that we will do, God have us accountable if we don't fulfill whatever God wants us to fulfill. Nebuchadnezzar was a mighty warrior, a ruthless soldier. His intentions were to build a great empire. It's always from the beginning, even in the Garden of Eden, the power, man to have power. So, this ruthless soldier, his intention was to build a great empire that he can rule and never end, that his golden city will last forever. Did the golden city, Babylon, last forever? No. Till this very day. That's how it was predicted. But he went wrong. Only God can declare the end and the beginning. Isaiah 46, 9 to 10. You can go to Isaiah 46, 9 to 10. God remembered the former things of old. Everyone is there? Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end and the beginning, and from the ancient times things that are not yet done, and I will do all my pleasure. This chapter of Daniel chapter 2, telling us the whole sweep of the history events that occurred during the ages in such as accurate way that met their fulfillment in such precise way the time, days, weeks, months, and years that reach down to our present time. The revelation of the history that no man, no magician, no astrologers, no clairvoyants, no spiritual mediums could or will interpret it with such an accurate way except God himself, what he predicted. In this chapter, we have the contrast between two young men. These two young men became an impact between themselves. One had something to offer to his living God. The other had something to offer to his country and his heathen gods. One was a slave and the other was a king. One was poor, the other was rich. One was gifted with divine power, the other had the monarchy power. One was trusted in divine power, and the other one trusted in his own power. So these two young men, there were big contrast between them. And all this confrontation between these young men came about when the king had a dream that is not an unusual thing for someone to dream. And this fascinating story begins like this. And we are on Daniel chapter 2, verse 1 and 3. In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and astrologers and sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I have dreamt a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Now, this dream that the king dreamt, it gone off his head, but left an impression in his mind that this dream had something to do with his kingdom and the future of his kingdom. And because of his failure, that he couldn't remember the dream, he appears to be so unreasonable. And Nebuchadnezzar called for the wise men of his court and demanded from them to remind him of his dream and tell him what it meant, the interpretation thereof. Likewise, the wise men were in complete failure, and they couldn't tell the king of the dream that he dreamt and make a reasonable request from him, tell us the dream and we will give you the interpretation of it. Which that was logical for them. This seems a very sensible thing to ask, but the king didn't want to be sensible. He was in no mood to be sensible. He wanted to be unreasonable because he wanted to know this important dream. Go to verse 4, actually to 10. There is a bit of reading there. 4 to 10. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Sirach, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we shall shew the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, you shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if you shew the dream and the interpretation thereof, you shall receive the gifts and reward and great honor. Therefore, shew me the dream and the interpretation thereof. They answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will shew the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, I know of certainty that you would gain the time because ye see the thing is gone from me. But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one degree for you, for you have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me, till the time be changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can shew me the interpretation thereof. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can shew the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things at any magician or astrologers or Chaldean. So the king admitted that the dream has gone from his head, and admitted to so-called wise men that his mind is blank. He couldn't remember the dream, to any detail of the dream. God of heavens has made the mind, his mind blank, and not to remember the dream. But the king added in verse 5, if you don't tell me the dream and the interpretation, you'll be cut in pieces, and your houses will be reduced to rubble. So we can imagine the great tense that they felt in that moment that the king put a didai on them, and there was no way of escape for them. In verse 6, we read here that this verse, that the king have a softer side in him, and said to them, if you fail, but if you not, you succeed, I shall give you gifts and high honors. Now the king learned very quickly that these men are not the men that they ought to be. The king was not a man to put off by handful of so-called wise men, but they do not fit in their job. He was aware of that, came to understand that. The king was very cruel in the sense of the word. He wasn't accustomed to have his request, his orders, handled in that way. Now he was still young man, in his early 20s. He knew what he wanted and was determined to get it. The magicians, sorcerers, astrologers felt very certain that their end has come. They had nothing to offer to the king. They could see that their heads will be gone. There was no way of escape, no emergency exit for them. Their road was very short indeed, with the executioner standing next to the king, with an axe to finish the request that was made by the king to execute all the wise men of Babylon. The sorcerers were those who were supposed to have possessed superhuman powers derived from evil spirits. The astrologers of Babylonian times, were of the same kind. In our days, is by foretelling the future by the position of the planet, or by reading the stars, they come up with all sorts of predictions and nonsense idea, which the prophecies that are full of lies and myths, with maybes and possibles and perhapses. The double talk in Babylonian days are found now in our daily papers, magazines, radio stations, and televisions, which there are many gullible people in our days that apply these astrological theories in their daily lives. And we know that. Through the magazines and all these things that they apply those things in their life. It is very interesting thing to know that the Hebrew word astrology literally means dividers of heavens. The Chaldeans were a class of scholars at Babylonian court who were the first astronomers of their days. They were the kingdoms of mathematicians and also the practicing of magic. They were learned men and skilled in the classical language and also write and speak Aramaic. When they addressed the king, it was in Aramaic, spoken by the king and his courtiers. So these men were all the men who stood trembling before the king. Again, they said to him, "Tell us the dream, and we give you the interpretation." We have noticed that the king demands were unreasonable. But we have to remember, by right, that these men were men made great profession of supernatural abilities, that by right they knew all the secrets through the channels of their gods. Then by the same token, they ought to know the secrets dream of the king. That's why the king asked them. Also in verse 8, the king answered and said, "I know of certainty that ye would gain the time, because you see the things is gone from me." But the king have seen them for what they are. They were fakes. The fake mask was uncovered. They were not what they claimed to be. And in a deceiving way, they were doing their effort to maintain their position and not to lose their heads and their jobs. In verse chapter 9 to 11, let us read 11. "And is a real thing that the king required, and there is none other that can shew it before the king except the gods whose dwelleth is not with flesh." So they admitted that. Frustrated and impatient, the king said to the wise men, "There is one degree for you, for you have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed." But they answered, "No king, lord, or ruler has even asked such things, or any magician, astrologers, or Chaldeans. And there is no other who can tell it, the king, except the gods whose dwelleth in no flesh, in the flesh." So the king had enough of their nonsense. The decree rang through the courts of the palace to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. So Daniel and his followers were listed with the wise men. It is clearly indicated that Daniel was not among those who stood before the king as he made his demands. In verse 14 and 15, "Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the things known to Daniel. So when the executioner came to inform Daniel of the situation, he asked, why is the decree so hasty from the king? And Daniel requested to meet the king. Daniel didn't want to die so young. Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. So the request from the king was granted. Daniel promised that if the king gave him time, he would tell the dream and also the interpretation thereof. Daniel put his life into the hands of God and claimed God's promises to hear his prayer. Failure to keep the word with the king, it would have cost his life, his head. We have to understand and remember Daniel in chapter 1:17 had a specific gift that he was able to understand all visions and dreams. Yes, 1:17. And as for these four Chaldeans, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now, this gift of Daniel was to put to a great hard test. But it needed all the wisdom and all the power that only comes from above. Because no one could dare and approach the king to change his mind and reverse the decree. But Daniel's request, it was granted by the king to him to give him time. And what did Daniel do? He gathered his companions, and together the four of them laid the matter before the living God, the one who never fails to honor those who put the trust in him. They had no desire to be numbered with those wise men who practiced their mysteries and nonsense magic, proving themselves before the king that they are fake and with no power whatsoever. But Daniel and the trio sought for the enlightenment from the one of all wisdom. These four young men were not scared because their lives were in danger, not at all. Because they were committed believers in the living God. Their lives meant nothing to them. They would accept whatever should they come to them. They were in the hands of God. They believed that God is their refuge and their strength, their Redeemer. And the four of them spent the night in prayer to give them wisdom, so God can give them wisdom, guidance, and deliverance, if it is his will. No one who goes before the throne of God of grace and seeks guidance and protection in any circumstances and trust in his mercy ever comes away from the throne of grace empty, frustrated or devastated, But the peace of God will rest upon the soul that trusted in the divine power. And that's how it is, friends, that we have to be like Daniel and his companions, that no matter what happened to us, we go on our knees and ask God for guidance. Verse 19, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. So in a night vision, Daniel had the interpretation of the dream. God gave him the dream that the king dreamt. So before Daniel shared the dream with the king, he gave thanks to God, for he is the Almighty. And we find that in verse 20 to 25, Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the season. He removed kings and seated up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of thy fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what we desire of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's dream matter. Therefore Daniel went into Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon, bring me in before the king, and will shew unto the king the interpretation. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste, and said thus unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. The influence of the prayer, especially with godly teachers, that they can leave a lasting impression on a young man. The fellowship and communion in prayers is one of life's richest experience. The apostles, when they together prayed for the Holy Spirit, the very walls of the buildings were shaking. Daniel could have prayed alone, but he prayed with his companionship of his friends, because the prayer of an army will break any barriers. So the next day, instead Daniel was brought before the executioners, he stood before the king. Arioch was quickly contacted about the revelation of the dream, and soon found himself before the king, and he said to the king, I have found a man who will tell you the interpretation of the dream. And I have found a man, so, O king, what I was able to do. I have found a man. And how many times that we do that? Look for any opportunity to make a big shot of ourselves. The attitude of Arioch still exists among us till this very day, seeking the reward of men. but not Daniel. So Daniel was brought before the king. He stood erect in the presence of the king. He wasn't afraid of the king because he had the power to destroy anyone, but because Daniel, he had the spirit of God in him. And without any doubt, he knew that God will deliver him and his friends from the hands of the king. And without any slightest indication, the dream to the most ruthless ruler that the world ever known, then you start to explain it. In verse 26 and 27, the king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known unto the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king had demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, soothsayers, shew unto the king. So Daniel said that your astrologers and the wise men could show you the dream. And the king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar. That means the prince of Bel, the prince of the heathen gods. Art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen, the interpretation thereof? In this verse 27, we see the humbleness of Daniel, how he turned the question from himself to his God. He reminded the king that the astrologers and magicians, soothsayers, all the wise men in Babylon, have been unable to meet the demand to tell him the dream and the interpretation of it. And in verses 28-29, but there is a God in heaven that reveal its secret and make it known to the king Nebuchadnezzar, and shall be in the later days. Thy dream and thy vision of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into the might upon thy bed. What should come to pass hereafter, and that reveal its secret, make it known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sake that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that you mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. So, in those verses, Daniel said, but I declare, O king, there is a God in heaven that reveal its secret and make it known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the later days. Thy dream and the vision of thy head upon thy bed are these. Daniel is telling the king that there is a God that knows everything, focusing the king's mind on the God of heaven and not on himself. In the conversation with the king, he left out himself. I, but the God of heaven that knows everything can reveal secrets and make known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the later days. God receives all the credit, not because Daniel said, I have more wisdom, than any living. But God made the matter known to me to make known what will happen in the later days. Imagine to listen to this 21-year-old man. The king knew Daniel. He had already pronounced him and his companions 10 times better in matters of wisdom and understanding than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his kingdom. Chapter 1, verse 20. So Daniel wasn't seeking for any royal rewards or kingly kindness, but to honor God. And everyone will know him that he is the only God of the earth and heaven. And God can use such a man as that. He cannot use anyone who is puffed up with pride and believe in his own ability and doesn't give any credit to God. Their downfall is sure. God will bring them to naught. So the humility of Daniel shines before the king as he was telling the incredible story of the image. And there is start the explanation of the dream, verses 31 to 35, which we have to leave here, and we continue other times. But God was preparing the king Nebuchadnezzar, being conditioned all the time that the fact is that he was not the almighty conqueror that he thought he was, and that his kingdom would not last forever. Without realizing, the king was accepting, before he knew it, the concept of the passing of his kingdom into the hands of others than to its final destruction. So we have to leave this one here and continue some other time, because the time doesn't permit. It's half past 12 already. But that's how I seen. At first I wasn't going to present it because it's very familiar with us, but in a certain way that's how I seen the explanation of the chapter of Daniel 2. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are able to study your words through the scriptures, that we are so privileged people. We pray, Heavenly Father, help us to follow your words in details and what you try to teach us. We thank you for this congregation, and also we pray for the ones that they are not here, that also be with them, that they have a blessing also in this day. And thank you for blessing us, and especially with these Sabbath hours, that we are blessed as you have promised us, that we receive special blessing. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving us Jesus, that he died for us on the cross to redeem us from the utter destruction. And also the knowledge that you gave us through Daniel for our time. We thank you, and we're loving you. And also we thank you for giving us your Son to be crucified for us. Thank you for it. And also we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.